Pardon me, this is the operator. Just need to inform all parties that today's conference call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect your line at this time, and you may begin.
Thank you very much, Lori. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. This is the GAC GNSO call on the 28th of January. And on the call, we have Mikey O'Connor, Anna Nevesh, Jonathan Robinson, Susan Liddell, Amar El-Sadar, Mark Carvel, and on the Adobe Connect, we have the same people. And for staff, we have Olaf Nordling, Marika Koenig, myself, Glenda Century, and Julia Charvolin. If I've missed anybody, please let me know. And otherwise, it's over to you, Jonathan. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Glenn. Welcome, everyone. And I see my
sorry.
Hand is
sorry.
Away. So let me let you.
Yes, I don't think I heard my name, so.
My apologies.
I heard my
no.
name.
No, that's quite right.
It's
my
okay.
name is Mel.
Okay.
I did miss you. Thank you.
So welcome everyone again, including Manal, who's worked together on preparing the agenda and the background to this call. And in fact, I think Manal takes the significant majority of the credit for keeping very much on top of this. I was slightly wrong-footed by the fact that we're coming back together again so soon. As you know, our future meetings will be at two-weekly intervals hereafter. So hopefully that gives us enough time not to drift too far apart, yet to catch our breath between the meetings. We have a charter which we tried to sign off on, at least from the group's perspective, so that we can back to our organizations as soon as possible. And we attempted to do that last time and found that there were a number of things that we wanted to sort of add to, reconsider, and work on. And we've done that in the interim period. The very latest version of that charter has only come out just before the call, and thanks to Mikey for the hard work on that. My sense from what was going on the email, and from my perspective as one of the advocates of a couple of changes, it seems that the dust is settling on this now. Are there any comments anyone would like to make on the charter before we essentially sign off on it as a group? Suzanne.
Thank you. I did just, with apologies to everybody, I hate to try your patience. I did just submit a proposed edit to the last sentence in the first paragraph. And I think my other GAC colleagues, I hope, will agree with me. In my experience, it is quite rare, actually, for the board to affirmatively approach the GAC. So, again, it's not meant to be a criticism. It's sort of meant to sort of clarify that this often doesn't happen. It may well be that the GNSO has assumed it occurred, but it doesn't. So I've tweaked it a little bit. You know, it is only at that time when the board might or may. I can't remember. I don't have that in front of me now. I'm on the Adobe screen. So I just think we want to clarify it simply to indicate that it's not a given that the board will affirmatively reach out to the GAC. That was my whole purpose there. Thank you.
Thanks. Suzanne, I've seen it in the email. I have no objections to it. I've seen a couple of ticks come up in the online forum in the Adobe, and I see a hand up from Mikey and Manal. So, Mikey, go ahead first.
This is Mikey. Yeah, I find that fascinating. I'm perfectly fine with the change in the charter, but I'm going to lean on Marika and Olaf. I think we do have wired into the process a request for advice from all ACNSOs just before the board votes on policies that are approved by the GNSO. So I think what we've done is we've identified a hole that we probably need to fill, and I'm fine with the change in the charter, but I see Marika's hand up. She may be able to set me straight on that. Thanks.
Thanks, Mikey. That's helpful info. And I think there's you're right. There's two points: there's the content of the charter and what happens in practice. So, Marika, your comment or response?
Yeah, this is Enrique. Just to clarify or further specify what Mikey referred to, because indeed, after the GNSO Council adopts the recommendations, these are put out for public comment, and simultaneously the board notifies the GAC that it's planning to consider the GNSO Council recommendations and asks the GAC whether they have any considerations or concerns in relation to public policy that they want to share before the board considers these. And I think we've formalized, because in the bylaws, actually, it's not exactly specified how that is done. It just says that the board needs to notify. What we've done over recent PDPs is indeed that a formal letter is sent from the board to the GAC notifying them of the upcoming consideration. But I think to date, we actually haven't received any formal response from the GAC to that notification. So as Mikey said, it may be one of the areas where, as going through the PDP, we may need to further consider whether that indeed is working as it should, or whether other mechanisms need to be explored. But that is currently part of the PDP and carried out.
Thanks, Marika. Manal, and then Suzanne, you'll come back in, I expect.
Yes, thank you, Jonathan. I understand where Suzanne is coming from. Actually, I had some comments on the first edit, but the second one makes more sense to me. I think we're trying here to highlight the problem that the advice sought comes very late within the process. The point that Suzanne is making, if I understand right, is that the GAC work doesn't only start when, or at least not all the time, the GAC starts working only when the board seeks advice. I mean, there are normal day-to-day work that is being carried out, but the problem comes when the board seeks the GAC advice very late within the process. So I think I've made a lot of sense, but let me try again. The first edit saying only then is problematic, but I do support the second edit Suzanne has made. Sorry, I'm not focused. I'll get my hand down and then try again maybe later.
Okay, Manal, let's give you a chance to come back in later if you need to. I think clearly this is sort of make sure we're factually correct, yet at the same time. Okay, Suzanne, why don't you come in and let's hear where you think this should go, having heard the input from Mike and I guess in particular Marika on how it actually happened to date.
Sure, and thank you for that. And I think in the interest of moving forward, perhaps we just bracket this for a while we do a little legwork. So I will confess to the group, and those who know me probably won't be surprised, I tend to be very literal, okay? So in my mind, an overture from the board to the GAC is quite explicitly that. It is not a little notice that says, oh, by the way, there's this activity going on over there. So it may well be that we need to do a little bit of legwork. So Marika, thank you very much for reminding us. This may have occurred on occasion, but we've looked into this ourselves in quite a level of detail several years ago, and maybe we're out of step, when we did the Joint Working Group report that was approved in June 2011. We went back through letters from the board to the GAC, and at that moment in time, there had only been one, what you might call a formal overture with a request for feedback. And so, again, my apologies, I may be too literal here, but when we sort of, and I think I can speak for the majority of the GAC, and I hope, Manal, that's what I'm trying to do here, our impression is that an overture is a formal request for advice. It's not just a notification that there is something of possible interest going on. So, again, why don't we just put that in brackets and do a little more legwork? I'm sure between us we can find something that's mutually acceptable. Thank you.
Suzanne, if I may, I think I'll insert myself as a cue, possibly as a participant, and less as chair. I suppose the challenge we've got to think about here is how much of this is about. This is quite interesting because we've got something in place, and so I guess our charter should reflect the facts of what is actually in place. Yet at the same time, if it's not effective in some way, we shouldn't misrepresent it in the charter. We should be accurate about what actually happens, and then make sure that it is effective or works as it's intended. So just to make sure I understand what you're saying from a chair's point of view, if you're thinking we put this aside, are we going to come back to it and try and reword it, or how do we go forward with trying to sort of tick off putting the charter to bed, at least as far as the group's concerned? And Marika, I see your hand is up, so let me just come to you. Suzanne, respond to that, what do you think is happening, and I see Marika's patiently has her hand up as well.
Sure. Go ahead, Marika.
Sorry, Suzanne. This is Marika. Yeah, so to Suzanne's point, I think that would be really helpful if indeed going through the PDP, and is indeed one of the areas also identified in the table, and I'm hoping as well that it will come back in the slide presentation that Mikey has done, because I think it would be really helpful to get that kind of feedback indeed on what would constitute a notification in from your perspective, because indeed, you know, we often support they're taking the PDP from start to finish, including as well, you know, working with the board on what they are required to do, and indeed, you know, providing drafts, for example, of such notices. So indeed, if the language in there is not sufficient at, you know, as it's currently written to trigger GAC feedback or input, I think it will be really important to know so that for, you know, future PDPs we're actually able to do so and reflect it in a way that, you know, the GAC can actually work with that. So I think it's just, you know, just for us to make a note of that is one of the items we probably should look further into, even though it may not be directly GNSO GAC, but still, you know, it's part of the PDP and I think an important part of where the GAC has another opportunity to currently provide the input directly to the board on PDP recommendations.
Go ahead, Suzanne. Thanks, Marika.
Thank you, and thanks, Marika, as well. I actually think, Jonathan, you and Marika put it well. There is an element in the process that involves this. And, Marika, thanks for the very good example you've sent. That is crystal clear. So we need to go back and perhaps adjust our mindset. I think this is more recent than not. And so, Jonathan, I like the way you put it. There is something built in, but, you know, apparently what we're realizing is that it's not necessarily the most effective tool. And that is perhaps a point we need to surface, that there is this mechanism, but it doesn't necessarily yield the results we all want. So that's a good job for this task force to take on. Why doesn't it work? What could we do to improve it? So I like the way you're approaching that. So I do think, again, it's just wordsmithing, which it's too early for me, even though it's 9:15. I don't have an alternative, but I think this is very, very helpful to surface that, no, of late, there is a more affirmative approach, and perhaps we have simply been so taken up with new GTLDs, which we have, that we haven't been formally sort of registering these overtures. So apologies for that. I do think we can just work on the language, and to me it's a minor editing fix. But I do think, Jonathan, you're quite correct to say, well, it does seem to suggest we want to tackle this.
Yeah, thanks, Suzanne. My sense is that we will tackle it in the work stream that you and Mikey are leading, so I think we will flush it out. And from my perspective, from a sort of chair's perspective, the most important thing is that the charter is, if you like, factually accurate, and so that's both important because that's how it should be, and also because it won't provoke any unnecessary responses if it is factually correct. And then to the extent that it's not working from a practical point of view, my expectation is we should flush that out in the work streams. Manal and Mikey, I see you both have your hands up. So Manal first.
Yes, thank you. So I'll give it a second try. I'll try to propose some edits, which I would like to know if this grasps or resolves the problem. If we say a timing difficulty arises because the GAC seeks, the board seeks GAC advice only when the GNSO PDP reaches the board at a very late stage of the GNSO policy deliberation process. I mean, this, I can try to put it in the chat if this is better.
Yeah, perhaps, I mean, it sounds to me like we're of a collective mind that we can tidy the wording up on this relatively easily to reflect the facts. Mikey, I see your hand is up and we'll come to you, but I'm just wondering if there are any other sort of material points that anyone wants to draw attention to in the charter other than what we might call tidying up this first paragraph. So if you could think about that as well, and we'll come to Mikey now.
Thanks, Jonathan. It's Mikey. I was also just throwing out a proposed revision. I think we're all on the same track in terms of our intent. And so I just threw out a suggestion that we would just add a clause to that last sentence that says, only then does the board request GAC advice, a process that appears to need review and improvement, you know, just to sort of capture the point that Suzanne was making. That,
well, Mikey, I'm very sympathetic to Suzanne's point, but I sort of react to that because, in essence, that's what the whole purpose of this group is all about. We recognize that advice comes too late. So I suppose my intent here is I'm thinking that we should try and capture the facts because you're right. I mean, only the fact that that advice comes late is a different issue to the fact that the request for advice may or may not fall on fallow ground or be properly heard or appropriately recognized. So I hope we all recognize that the fundamental purpose of this group is to, well, one of them at least, is to deal with this timing difficulty, the fact that the advice comes late. I quite like Manal's wording. I don't know if anyone else has got a response, or Mikey, if your hand is up to respond to that. Amar?
Hi, Jonathan. Thanks. This is Amar. Well, to be honest, I don't see much difference between Manal's wording and the wording that is already present in that first paragraph of the charter. If Manal would like to point out what that difference may be, I'd appreciate it. But I tend to favor what Mikey is suggesting in sort of as well as what you just said, which is this is really what we're trying to do is figure out how to improve early engagement of the GAC and the GNSO PDP. The way I see that, I think the first paragraph is fine in doing that. As far as a request from the board to the GAC, I'm not sure if this is something we necessarily need to address because we're looking for earlier engagement than when this actually gets to the board or not. So I don't know if we need to tackle this issue or not. But as Marika pointed it out a little earlier, recently, I guess the board has been sending requests to the GAC for input. This seems to be a new practice, not an old one, but perhaps I'm not sure if it's something that's going to become standardized. But in general, I do like the suggestion Mikey made. Thanks.
Okay. Mikey and then Mark.
So this is Mikey again. I threw another version into the chat, but I still think we're very, very much in alignment. So I don't have terribly strong feelings about this, and I agree with your point, Jonathan. But what I tried to do is incorporate it in and say only then does the board request GAC advice, and it, which is an example of a process that appears to need review and improvement by this group, just to capture the thought that you had. You know, I think we're all pretty much on the same wavelength here. So, we could just leave it bracketed for now.
Yeah, I think it's important to move on. So let me say, I see Amar has supported you there. I'm okay with the words you suggested in the chat. So let's hear from Mark, and then hopefully we can be in a position to put this to bed with those revisions. Mark.
Yes, thanks, and hello to everybody. I just wanted to say, yes, I think we're almost there, subject to seeing that final version, if you like, of the tweaking of the text. But I just wanted to add that the, seek assurance that we're not losing the sense that the GAC can and often does look to what's going on in the GNSO. So the text where it says it may only be at that time that the GAC turns its attention to the GNSO's work, I think that's a valid point because, you know, we don't have to wait for the board to draw attention to a policy development. Quite often GAC members are getting to hear what's happening, and, you know, there are discussions in the margins, and then in the GAC GNSO meetings there may well be issues relating to a policy development going on, but quite often it's towards the end of the policy development process, I believe is the case. But it's the point about, you know, the GAC turning its attention. I think that's a valid thing to retain if we're in the text. Thanks.
I'm slightly lost as to where we've got to. Not totally. It's somewhat challenging to sort of edit this with multiple variants. I think we're going to have to. My suggestion is that we agree the charter, subject to finalising on list that. Last sentence. That seems to be the most sensible thing to do because it's somewhat difficult to edit it by these various sort of conversations now. Suzanne, I see your hand is up.
Just a minor comment. Again, I think Aura put it very well to remind us that our focus here is on early engagement. So again, it's Mark is quite correct. It's not that the GAC does not pay attention, but that's not the issue. The issue is, Are we providing you, the GNSO, with the early input that we both think would be helpful? And currently our sense is at the present time, no, that is not happening. So obviously whatever tools are available today are not achieving the desired result. It's not a question of a lack of interest or any of those things. So what is it? So I do think we're very, very close. We're just trying to set the facts straight. This is the context in which we are, you know, sort of working. There may be these notification mechanisms. I think the point is they're not sufficient, and they don't occur early enough in the process, and then we just move on from there.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, the important point from my perspective is that we recognize that there are a number of potential engagements that either are working inadequately or are not hitting the target, and so it's somehow or another we've got to that. But that to me is the purpose, as I said, of this group. Let's tidy up the text online so it's both factually correct and conveys the essence of what we intend to do. I guess I have two little comments about alterations I proposed. One was the use of ultimately further down in the text. I'm happy for that to be left out. The only reason for it was we said specifically solving this problem would result in more efficient PDPs, and there's a whole lot of work going on on the GNSO, unilaterally on the GNSO side, to improve efficiency of PDPs, notwithstanding this issue. So it was trying to capture that, but I don't think it's absolutely necessary. So frankly, I'm perfectly prepared to drop the ultimately point in the interest of getting this signed off. And the other one, I think we've more or less agreed that they may have been inconsistent with laws, and we've given a concrete example which we discussed, Suzanne and I and others on list. So it seems to me we've got something, subject to refining a final refinement of that that first paragraph, for which Mikey's proposed a final version even in the chat now, we've got something which we can sign off on as a group. I just want to test with you all where this goes next, because I think what we do at that stage, my understanding is we agree that's the charter we intend to work to and commence our work on that basis, but we do send it out, then back, we transmit that back to our respective groups for notification and, I guess, prospective input and variation. We can't consider it absolutely final. It's subject to a form of ratification and by our respective groups. Is that a common understanding of those on the call now?
I would think so.
Thanks, Suzanne. So I see a couple of other hands coming up from Amma and Mike and Mikey and Manal. So that's our understanding. Then we settle it within our group. We communicate it to our respective organizations. We may find that there is additional variation or input on the back of that. But I guess we should, my suggestion, just purely practically, is that we should... certainly we should continue with our work. We shouldn't wait for that. And maybe that's the essence of the communication, that we intend to work along these lines, subject to any material input from the respective groups. All right. Item two, then, is to just agree on the working documents of each work track. Now, as you know, we've got the two different tracks, the so-called PDP work track, where we intend to step through the PDP process and look for either examples of existing engagement processes and or opportunities for new or therefore improved or new engagements. And that's represented in a set of slides and a table describing the GNSO PDP process with opportunities for GAC engagement to be led by Mikey and Suzanne. And then a second work stream, which is this mechanism for day-to-day cooperation, for which a table has been prepared by staff Marika and Olof in the interim, and we now have that as a working document. So any concerns, objections, or otherwise with those as our working documents? Hearing and seeing none, we will proceed to work with those two work streams, which are shared with all of the group, but led respectively by Suzanne and Mikey, and then myself and Manal. Now, what we didn't complete at the last meeting a week ago was an overview of a set of slides with input options that had been prepared by Mikey and I think discussed after the last meeting between Mikey and Suzanne. So in essence, this is a presentation to our group by Mikey and for the record, but with, I think, historical and very recent input by Suzanne and others as we've shared it on the list. So why don't we hand over to you, Mikey, to walk us through the process in relatively short order, and we can see how that educates and informs the group and creates opportunities for discussion. Over to you, Mikey.
Thanks, Jonathan. It's Mikey. I'm going to take you through a document that, if we sort of went at normal speed, would probably take us an hour or two to get through. So I'm going to, instead of spending a lot of time going into the content, I'm going to just give you sort of a chance to see what's in it. And I think that there's plenty of work for us to do here. So let me just jump right in. Basically, this slideshow is built around this top-level description of the process, and the difference between this and the one that we have been using up till now is that it's a bit more detailed. And so I did a whole series of slides, one per step here. So the the one at the very top is highlighted in blue, and that indicates the part of the process we're working on, which in this one is identify and frame an issue. And then Suzanne and I talked about the table that was running in parallel and agreed that it would be nice to put the table and this chart together, because the nice thing about the table is that it's much more, to use Suzanne's term, literal. It's much more a written document and thus can be a lot more precise in its meaning. So the next page, by convention, is simply the table that we've already been using. I just added it to this slide deck. So that's just a sense. As you go through this slide deck, I'm going to go very fast. You can see that what happens is there's a picture and then there's a table. And so that's just a sense of sort of what's going on. Sorry to blink this back, but I want to sort of roll back. And, you know, it's Suzanne's got a good point in the chat, which is that the written word is more understandable in many cases, and again, just to emphasize, it's also often quite a bit more precise. And for both those reasons, I think it's good to have these together. The thing that's nice about the picture is it sort of gives the overview. And I think one of the big points that Suzanne and I came across in our conversation follows right on from that last conversation about the charter, which is that there are a lot of places in this process which could trigger conversations with the GAC, between the GAC and the GNSO, quite a bit earlier in the process than perhaps happens now. And to amplify another point that I think we just heard, there are already trigger points in this process that we're not maybe taking as much advantage of as we could. And this first stage is a good example of that. There's this process is built to allow the GAC and anybody else, for that matter, to identify and frame an issue for consideration by the GNSO. And one of the things that would then happen is that we would go through this whole process based on that input from the GAC. So if you want early engagement or an example of early engagement, I think that this first stage is the earliest of possible early engagements. And so right from the start, I think there's things to explore. And so that's what the table starts to get to. If you look on the column to the right, the way this table is structured is there are a series of questions that have been posed, and there's no way we can get through all this material today. I just want to point out that those questions are probably the focal point for the work, and then we'll circle back to that explanatory drawing and fix it once we've completed our work. But I think asking questions like these, making sure that these are the right questions and enough questions, and then answering those questions to all our satisfaction is really the core of the work that at least this work stream is going to be doing. And so Suzanne and I sort of have to structure how we're going to actually chug through all of this series of questions, but I don't think that's going to be hard. It's going to be a fair amount of work. But you can see that right off the bat, you know, there may be triggers here, and one of the things that Suzanne brought up, which I thought was a really interesting idea, is that maybe if something has something to do with international law or, you know, sort of the focal point of the GAC that surfaces in this early stage, we should check, and that should be a trigger to talk to the GAC about that. So anyway, that's a little bit of an editorial aside. Let me just very quickly run through the rest of the pictures. What happens after anybody in the world identifies or or frames an issue, the next thing that happens is that there is a formal process to kick off the first stage, and that process varies depending on who's doing the asking. And so the middle of that picture is sort of indicating that what happens is somebody frames an issue, the staff may advise on that, and then request an issue report. Depending on whether it's the board, the council, or an advisory committee, the rules are slightly different in terms of how the council handles it. And right there, front and center, is the notion that the GAC, an advisory committee, could certainly request an issue report. And in the case of the advisory committee requesting it, I'm going to turn to Marika. Does that require a vote by the council? I know on the in the case of a board request, the council does not vote. It simply goes to the next stage. I'm not sure whether an advisory committee requested issue report requires a vote or not. We don't need to get into that now. And Marika disconnected instead of unmuting. So not a big deal, Marika, but that's the sort of thing that we're going to want to work through and make sure we understand, because that's not something I just know for sure. Presuming that the issue report then gets well, here are our questions. Isn't this a stage that would be specifically good for the GAC? And this is back to my little editorial. But then presuming that it does get approved by the council, I can't imagine why it would not, then there's a preliminary issue report that's prepared by staff, and there's a public comment period. And so even when the GAC does not request the issue report, there's an opportunity for the GAC to comment on an issue report, even at this very early stage. Let me just check the chat. Mark is asking, is there a GNSO SIFT or prioritization process at this identifying framing? Yes, to a certain extent, although the volume isn't so high that, Mark, that at least in my experience, there hasn't been much of a sifting going on. It's more a sifting as to whether it's in or outside of the scope of the GNSO that's generally the focus of that conversation. But
if I may, just a brief comment there. I suppose that the sifting is twofold. In general, there isn't a volume, as you rightly point out. The second is that it's subject to a certain threshold vote of the council. That said, that threshold is very low, and as far as the council's concerned, may be an issue for future discussion. But at this stage, the bar is set deliberately low, such that for the most part, if an issue is requested for an issue report, the work gets done in order to frame it properly and check it out at the outset, so that it's not a high barrier to overcome. Thanks. Sorry for interruption, Mikey.
No worries. And part of this is, you know, just zooming quickly through as you can tell, a fairly elaborate process, but you're darn right. And there's, I've put a little arrow on the screen that sort of points to those thresholds. And that kind of documentation will tend to wind up in these pictures rather than in the text often. So I'm going to do that just to annoy Suzanne and keep our working relationship as co-leaders on the right track. So let me carry on here. Get my little arrow off. So again, here we go on the questions. There's a bunch of questions here. This is the stage, just as a reminder, where there's the public comment on a preliminary issue report, and there are a bunch of questions, including a comment from me, which I think we'll probably all tend to agree around, which is midway down, that says, look, you know, the earlier these comments come in, the easier it is for me, especially as a working group chair, to ensure that that conversation is included in the conversation of the working group. And there is a very formal process whereby the working group logs every single public comment and addresses every single public comment at each stage in its work. So if the GAC were to put in a public comment on even on the issue report stage, these would be logged and dealt with during the process. So again, I don't want to belabor that. On we go. Presumably, let's presume again that the public comments come back and it's time to initiate. This is the stage at which the council has a higher threshold. As you can see up in the top, let me just point that out to you. To actually start the rest of the PDP process is a somewhat more elaborate process and has higher thresholds. And there's also another interesting point, which is if you, the GAC, and this is written into the rules, if you, the GAC, request an issue report or request a PDP, an issue report, and we, the GNSO, reject it, there's a process by which we're required to meet with you, try and work it out, et cetera, et cetera. You know, this is a pretty summarized version of the process. So there's quite a bit of process to ensure that you, as the GAC, are heard and that your requests are not dismissed lightly. So that's just another little highlight for you. Again, more questions. You can see that at each stage of the game, there are questions all along the way. Oh, Marika, I see your hand up. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Marika. Just a note on the any issue reports requested by advisory committees. I think most of the time, or at least the requests we've had to date, were socialized before the advisory committee would actually make that request. So I think at least we've seen that with the requests received from the ALAC, which I think to date have been the only requests for issue reports we've received from an advisory committee. They were discussed and deliberated before they made the formal request, again, as a way of communicating and making sure that both sides understood where the issue was coming from, and as well making sure that all the information required was available for the GNSO Council to consider at the time that they would take a decision on whether or not to initiate the policy development process.
Thanks, Marika, and I've sort of answered my own question. We do vote on advisory committee requested reports, and that's what that reconsideration process is all about. So anyway, that's sort of what's going on there. And again, here again, we have more questions, and I think plenty of opportunities. You can see in the second half of this page this notion of triggering that Suzanne and I talked a bit about is starting to appear. I inserted some of these along the way as I did this draft this week. And I think that this is, at least for the thread that Suzanne and I are leading, this is asking and answering these questions is really at the heart of the work. And so I'm pretty excited about how far we are already. Then we get into the part of the work that I spend a lot of time on, which is sort of the working group part. And so there are a whole bunch of, you can see the steps in the middle, initiate calls for volunteers, applications for membership, conducting the meetings, et cetera. I don't know if I hold the record, but I've certainly chaired a lot of these. And so my interest in this working group, the work that we're doing, is to be your resource when it comes to how these working groups work, because I've spent a lot of time on a lot of working groups and have a bunch of opinions on that. And again, we have a series of questions, and this is where we start to trigger the unofficial liaison possibility, or maybe people participating as individuals, or all sorts of things. The working group work, although it's bounded by very well-established process and procedures, there's quite a bit of flexibility within that. And if there's a need for a less formal or some other mechanism for the for representatives of the GAC to participate in a working group, I'm really interested in trying to figure out ways that we can accommodate you, because we accommodate lots of stuff, and it just has to be possible to do that. So anyway, we do a bunch of work, and we get the team established. As the team is getting established, here's another public comment period. You can see that if you look at the little code around the edge of this diagram, these are the four places where public comments and statements from advisory committees and supporting organizations are requested. So at a minimum, there are four places in this process that you, the GAC, can provide formal input to the working group process. And my bias as a working group chair is that the earlier phases are much easier for us in the working group to accommodate. You know, when we get to the very last one, the one that the arrow is pointing at, you know, the working group has worked for a year, the conversation has been very nuanced, the policy is pretty baked, and it's harder to accommodate, but that's not to say it can't be accommodated.
Just
Gemma.
Gemma has her hand up, so just
yeah,
to let you know that. And just
hello, thank you.
10 minutes to the hour, so just to
I will go as quick as I can. Go ahead, Gemma. Gemma.
Thank you. Sorry to be late to the conference call. I just wanted to go back to something that you were saying before about GAC participation on the working groups. I think this is a very delicate point. I myself am participating in a GNSO working group, but I'm doing as an individual or as a representative of the Spanish government, not as the representative of the GAC. This is something we have to work out at the GAC, because it's not the same that one individual joins that working group and expresses his opinions or her opinions, because those opinions might not be the GAC position at the end. You may be able to notice some public policy issues, but your view on those public policy issues may not coincide with that of the GAC at the end. So I think it could be safer for the GAC if we, within the GAC, decide on how to organize GAC participation in GNSO working groups at an early or at subsequent stages, so that that process is useful. Just that note that I wanted to make. And also I take advantage of having the mic now, because I have to move to another conference call at 4 o'clock. Is that the reverse liaison issue is one that should be studied thoroughly at this working group. I've seen the work done by Marika and Olof, and I think it's very well targeted. And I trust that this methodology could be a good communication channel between both organizations. That's all for now from me. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Gemma, and I'm going to push ahead as fast as I can. Amr, can I indulge myself and park your comment, or is this something urgent that you really need to jump in with? Go ahead.
I don't really need to. I was just going to respond to Gemma on one point and also note that I need to join her on the other call.
Yeah.
In a few minutes.
I think one of the tricks to this particular conversation is there's actually no way that we can do real work on this particular call. I really wanted to just quickly give you a heads up. There are a million issues in here that we get to work on. So let me just... I am sensitive to Jonathan's point, and Jonathan, if you want, we have more agenda in front of us. Would you rather me to stop at this point? Because I think the point I was trying to make is that there is a lot in this document that you all should familiarize yourself with, and we're going to undoubtedly spend some time on the list, sort of working our way slide by slide through this, and so I could stop here if you'd prefer, Jonathan.
You know, Mikey, much as I think that we're going to lose people, so I think we probably should. Clearly, the most critical thing to do is to spend a couple of minutes talking, probably about our expectations from both work tracks. I mean, this presentation seems to hit the mark in a lot of ways, and it forces us to step through the issues. I think it's given people a good sense of things, so probably we should concentrate the last 5 minutes before everyone has to drop off on, it seems to me we accept the table, which is item 4, and I will take that as read unless anyone says so. So, yeah, thanks, Mikey, for that. I think we should just move on and try and close off a little on item 5 and note that at least the point that exists under item 6 is important, that we'll need to plan, be suddenly cast our minds towards Singapore and think about how the GNSO and GAC might interact and what proportion of that interaction might be covered by a report from this group. So let's take item 4 as read. I see a hand up from Olaf. Olaf, please go ahead.
Yeah, very briefly, this is the little overview that Marika and I prepared, and I would just like to invite comments on it, because the stepwise approach, trying to first of all identify the objectives, then the alternatives we have, and then proceed from that. So Marika and I would very much welcome any comments or additions or edits to that one on the list. Thanks.
Thanks, Olaf. And for just to be absolutely clear, this is the second work stream to be sort of led by myself and Manal, and for which a sort of initial framework has been prepared as agreed at last meeting by Marika and Olaf. So yes, let's hear any comment or input onto that structure and that method, and then if it's acceptable as it stands, or if we tweak it on list, then use that. I would quite like to hear any suggestions if others have them. Manal, you have a couple of questions.
Yes, but I can. I'm just posing them to for everyone to think about, and we can take them online. It's okay. I mean, over email.
Yeah, understood. That it will be great to make sure that if you could make sure that comment from the chat is framed online, and also we do pick up on that. But I see it deals with both structure and the approach. So let's pick that up and form some discussion around that. That would be great. We have a couple of weeks before the next call, and I wonder, this last item really sought to understand expectations and I guess ideally set some form of targets and as to what we might reasonably achieve by the next call. I don't know if there's any comment on this or thoughts. I mean, clearly we're going to try and stabilize the position on the two workflows and the mechanics for getting through them, and second of all, then to start to step through them. Mikey, I see your hand is up.
Thanks, Jonathan. This is Mikey. I think my co-chair has left the call, so I'm going to make commitments for us in her absence. I think what I'm going to go ahead and do, because the structure of our document is so focused on those questions, is I'm going to go through and structure the document so that there are questions and answers, and then I'm going to draft answers to as many of them as I can, just to give something for the group to think about and to discuss. Just like with the charter, I won't have a whole lot of editorial pride, but I think the answers to those questions will lead us to a very interesting and useful discussion, and my goal is to have those done by the next call.
That's great, and appreciate that goal. Well, maybe that throws down the gauntlet for the other work stream, and I think we're not quite as far ahead as you are, Mike, in terms of making sure that the questions are properly structured as the comments in the chat from at least Manal suggests. I should just remind everyone that while the chat is a very helpful mechanism and technically is recorded and available, it would be very helpful for those who do place more substantial questions in the chat. If I could please ask you to get those out onto the email list as well, that would be great. Mark, I see your hand is up.
Yes, thank you, Jonathan. And just a suggestion to follow on from Mikey's much appreciated offer. This framing of questions, I think, is an incredibly valuable process, and I'm really impressed by how much you're capturing so far. And my suggestion is that perhaps, as you, Mikey, take this further, and maybe you want to consult us as you proceed with this, you might actually start to identify critical questions that the meeting in Singapore between the GAC and the GNSO might discuss. The questions in the column that jump out as critical ones that merit or would form the backbone, if you like, potentially, of the discussion. Because they would provide, I would have thought, tremendous focus for both the GNSO and the GAC when we come together in Singapore. So just a suggestion. And while I'm on the mic, just to say, come the week of the 17th of February, I'm out of London in Geneva all week on ITU, WISIS, and IGF. Business, there's the IGF consultations. So my microphone will go dead, basically, at that time. And if we're looking at the potential sort of timelines and deadlines, the next couple of weeks is pretty good for me. Then I'm going to be out, I think, of this leading the UK delegation in Geneva. So, and then I'll come back. And then I can certainly pick things up, but I just want to flag that, and Anna may have the same problem because I know she and I quite often have the same international commitments. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Mark, and thanks for a very constructive suggestion. I think again, if you could just remind us, anyone who's got difficulties, either by an apology to not be able to attend the meeting or just an indication that you're in a black hole for a period of time, so that we A, respect and understand that, and B, are able to perhaps contain any substantial decisions in your absence if and where possible. And I just make one remark about Singapore. I think that's a very constructive suggestion. I think it's almost, I'd have a slightly different take on it. It's really, I guess, it's related. It's where we have, when and if we have areas where we think it would be particularly beneficial to highlight, and it may even be with a group as big as that, we want to make them into more binary choices rather than open-ended discussions. But certainly I think that's a constructive thing to be thinking about. What of the problems or questions that either work stream is focusing on would we like to bring out to the larger forum in as constructive a way as possible? I really like that suggestion. So, And Manal, I see your point as well, which I think is important. But I suppose what we've got to be careful of is with all of us, is that we don't sort of run before we can walk. And it's, Manal has suggested in the chat that we report where we stand, where we've got to, indicate where, stress some points, but also in particular where we need further input. And I guess also openly recognize where there's still further work in the group to be done, because we don't expect to be complete by then. I'm anxious to bring this to a close, but I see, Mark, your hand may still be up or may have been put up again. So just to make sure, now. All right, everyone. Well, I think that was useful. We got a little bit bogged down in the beginning on the charter work, but that at least we can put that now to bed, and we seem to have a reasonable indication of where we're headed next. So that's good news. So I think we'll bring it to a close more or less on time. And thank you all for your attendance. I know it crept on us rather quickly, but we'll see what we can do now over the next couple of weeks before the February 13th, I think it is, meeting, or whenever the next 2 weeks Tuesday, 2 weeks from today is. Okay. Thanks all. Look forward to sharing ideas with you on lists and meeting with you in 2 weeks' time.
Thanks, Jonathan.
Thank you.